One of the classes I had in college was a teaching class. Dr. Bruce McCracken was the instructor of that class, and his goal in that journey was to teach us how to teach. And so throughout that semester, we would be challenged, but he had four words, and I've shared them before, but he always had four words, and he said, "You need to remember these words. Remember these words. It'll make you a teacher that people can learn from or make at least be interested in what you're teaching." And he just said these four words. "You need hook, book, look, took." You need hook, book, look, took, he says. And then he spent the rest of the semester trying to unpack that to hook. You need some sort of, engage the audience, he said. Engage the people that you're going to be teaching. Engage them. Hook them, so to speak. That was his word. Hook, make sure they're looking at you. Is everybody paying attention? You know, you got a story or something that might go along to invite people in to where you're going. Maybe a story about a brother who was jumping a manure spreader with his bicycle. You know, that would be back to a hook. Get everybody on the same page. And then he says, book, don't forget the book. And the book, you take them to the Word of God, because all our teaching is substandard to the Word of God for living life. There's lots of tea. We can learn English and history and social studies, and we can learn math, but we're here to teach the Word of God, he said. So take them to the book. If you were teaching math, you'd go to the math book. You're learning how to teach the Word of God, so take them to the book, hook and book. And then you got to look at it. You got to really look at it. What does it mean for today, he would say? What's that mean? Don't just read it, discuss it, have a discussion, and look at what it means, and then took, and what do you want them to take away? What do you want them to take away? Do you have that plan? Do you have that thought in your head? What do you want them to take away? What do you want them to walk out of the moments, whether it's a 15-minute or an hour class or whatever it is? What do you want them to take away from that? Sometimes a took or a hook is easy. I got no hook today. I got no hook. I'm just going to jump in. This is no toe dipping. There's no, I got no hook. I got no story. I just want to just leap into the teaching this morning. We've been teaching about giving. God has given us. What's God given us? And I just want to jump into some of the things that we talked about already, but I want to talk about something that God has given us. The scriptures are full of God has given or God gave, and to put into the possession of another, not just to put it into the possession of another, but to use that for a reason God gives it to us. He puts that into your possession, not just so you can hide it under your pillow or keep it in a lockbox somewhere. It's so that you can use it. God never gives anything that's not usable. Do you ever get a gift that's not usable? You say, what in the world? I've got gifts before that I didn't even know what were. And I had to go find out. And once I start to learn what it is, it becomes a very useful gift. And sometimes I think God does that. Let me give you something. I don't even know what it is, God. I know, but you'll learn. I'll know. I know. Hang on. One thing you don't do is put it in the lockbox or hide it under a bushel if we want to sing the song or bury it in the back lawn. You gotta take it. Take it from me. I want to give it to you, but then I want you to use it. We talked about the things that God has given us so far, and he's given us some things that we've talked about are temporary things, and some things are more permanent things that he's giving us. And he's given us, we talked about apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers and pastors to aid us, right? In equipping us. That's not a permanent gift. The equipping is, but that person or people in your lives is not a permanent. You don't get sewed together. It's more of a temporary thing. He gives it to you in your life for a season, maybe just for a moment. Maybe just for one moment in your life, he gives you a prophet to speak something into your life. And you receive that from the prophet, because that's part of what's being spoken into your life. And maybe he gives you something on a regular basis from a teacher or a pastor or an evangelist. And it's that temporary person that he puts in your life. They're not going to be teaching you for all of eternity. But they're here for a season. It's a temporary gift. A temporary giving to you from God. And then we talked about giving us a touch that brings healing or brings provision or brings strength or brings righteousness to us. Brings the idea of what to do next. Where do I step? How do I go? And I think that's a temporary gift. He gave Lazarus the gift. He touched Lazarus and he resurrected him from the dead, but he died again. It was a temporary gift. A pretty impressive temporary gift, but it still was temporary, right? He's not still, I didn't see him at Walmart yesterday. You know, he's not still walking around here. I don't still see him on news. I try to look him up on Facebook. He's not there. He's dead. But he received a temporary blessing from God, a temporary touch from God. And so do we at times. We get touched by God, and it's very temporary. Today I want to talk about something that I think is permanent. It's got, it's like a tattoo. You can't get rid of it. It's more of a permanent thing. He says, I'm going to give you this. The healing is temporary. The person in your life that's helping you understand the Word of God, that's temporary. But I want to give you something that's permanent. I want to give you something that's going to stick with you forever. But still, he's giving it. He's putting it into our possession for our use. But I think this is one of those gifts, as we unpack it this morning, that, while I unwrap it, and I'm like, I want to be excited, but I have no idea what it is. I still have something in my shop that I have no idea what it is. Just a little piece of tool. I'm still trying to figure out what it is. And God said, this is going to be one of those things. I'm telling you, it's going to be one of those things. I want to give you something. It's permanent. But you're going to open it up and say, whoa! It's not healing. It's not a prophet. What is it? What does it mean? How do I understand what it is? John 3:16 says this. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. But he gave the Son for a purpose, right? So it's not just the Son, so to speak, that you receive, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have or receive what? Eternal life. He's giving us eternal life. That, to me, that's, oh yeah, I can explain that. Good luck with that. We're going to unpack it some, but it's one of those gifts that's like, wow, this is alive. This is living. This is something that I can't just sit there. I've got to understand what this is. God has given you eternal life. So let me just coast down or drive down or mud my truck down through the middle of this eternal life, because it's a gift that God has given you. Just like the prophets and the apostles and the teachers and the pastors, just like the touch of healing, just like the provision, just like whatever he's brought into your life, it's now he's given it to you and he wants you to use it. But I gotta understand it. And so John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Number one, eternal life is given to those who believe. That's what it says. You want eternal life? There's a belief that has to happen. He said, I want you to have it, I want you to give it, but it depends on you too. And many gifts that God gives us depends on us. He can put a prophet into your life. He can put a teacher into your life. And if you don't want the teaching, you kind of set it aside. You leave it under the chair and you leave. God said, I can't force you to take it. But if you want it, if you believe, eternal life is for those who believe. It still doesn't tell me what it is. It tells me how to receive it, but it doesn't tell me what it is. Right? I can't figure out what it is yet from that passage. I know that God wants to give it to me. I know that it comes through the Son somehow. And I know it comes to those who believe. But I don't know what it is yet. I'm starting to unwrap it. I see who gave it to me. I'm unwrapping it and I'm still scratching my head. What is this? So we move to the next passage. We're going to get there. Hang on. And this is the testimony God has given us. What? See, that's another thing I learned in Hookbook Look Took. Every once in a while, I'll let you read a word, make sure you're awake. It worked today. Sometimes it's risky to say that because all of a sudden it's like crickets, you know? It says, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. That agrees with John 3:16. He who has the Son has life. He does not have the Son of God, does not have life. So I understand that eternal life is not a born with feature. I still don't know what it is, but I'm not born with it. It comes through believing. But I'm not born with eternal life. I'm starting to unwrap the gift a little bit more. I see who gave it to me. God gave it to me through the Son. God's gift through the Son. The Son is the delivery. He gave it to me and the provision. He gave it to me. And I'm starting to unwrap it. And He says, I've given you this. Past tense. I've given you this. I have given you eternal life. Push a button, please. Wait a minute, I gotta keep up my notes. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water, and He's talking to the woman at the well. I love it when He's talking to Nicodemus in chapter 3 of John, and very religious man, and very much got the actions of the law under his belt. And He tells him, John 3:16. I want to give you eternal life. And then all of a sudden, He's at this woman at the well who has lived this very worldly life, and He tells her the same thing. I love it that eternal life is not just saved for a certain group of people, but if you want to believe, you get eternal life, and God's going to give it to you, and He wants to give it to you. And this is in through His Son. It's not, you're not born with it. New lifers, you got to get it. You're not born with it. But it's something God wants to give you. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water, and he's got the well there, and he's teaching, that's his hook. I'm telling you, Jesus got a hook. He's got the well. He's not talking about sheep right now, he's talking about water. Why? Because he's next to the well. Jesus is the master at hooks, and the master at books, and the master at looks, and the master at tooks. Right? Am I the only one crazy enough? I see that. So everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Duh. Thank you, Captain Obvious. The lady's got to be going, yeah, well, now you're a wise one. But whoever drinks the water, see, now they're just going to amp it up here. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Interesting. I wanted to go into each one of these, and I had to delete some because I had like 25 pages of notes. But eternal life, just know, and maybe we'll visit these later on, but eternal life is not just a drink of water, it's a spring of water. Isn't that interesting? Hang on, we're going to get to, I think we're gonna, he's going to give us a better understanding or a more full understanding, but right now we got to know that we're not born with it. Number two, we got to know, or number one, we got to believe. God wants to give it to us. He did everything that we can have it. And number two, we're not born with it. It comes through the Son. But when we believe, God has given it to us, right? And now we got to understand that it's this drink of water, this one-time event that God wants you to have. Woo! One-time event. You got it. No, it's something that is bubbling up in you. It's something that is a spring. It's not just a drink. And the lady's got a bucket in her hand, and she's pulled up a couple of gallons of water. He said, you think that's cool? You got a two-gallon bucket? I got a whole spring for you. It's called eternal life. The spring continues to produce, never ending. Each drop of water, and I think this is so key, each drop of water comes and adds to your eternal life. Interesting. We got to get going. John 5:24 says this, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my words and believes them and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will we not be condemned. He has crossed over. He has crossed over. He has, past tense. He has. If you got eternal life, you are already crossed over from what? From death to life. So just got to know eternal life overlaps the natural life. Isn't that interesting? It's not something you're waiting for. You got it now. See, you can be waiting for your inheritance. Well, I got an inheritance. You ain't got an inheritance because the person who's going to leave it to you is still using it themselves. And God said, that's not the way it is here. It laps over. You're not waiting for it. You got it. I give it to you. You believe. I give it to you. It's not a drink of water. It's a well of water, and it's welling up inside of you. It's producing all kinds of freshness and hydration in your life. As I studied this, I said, wow, what is it? I keep unwrapping it, and I'm like, I see where I get it from. I see how I get it, and I see the definition, but I don't really know what it is yet. Eternal life does overlap the natural life. You know what that means? Just simply means this. You got it now. You got it now. If you did what? If you believed. If Jesus has brought it to your life, you got it. You've got eternal life. It overlaps the natural life. Let's just look at a couple more verses. I'm just saying that to get you excited. It's almost the end because the last one is really big. Some days I just love preaching. This is one of those days. Unless you all start to get up and walk out, and then I won't like it so much. Keep yourself, Jude says this, keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. I said, what? You said I already had it. You said I already have crossed over from death to life. You already said it runs parallel to the natural life. And he said, yes, but the eternal life doesn't stop when the natural life stops. It goes on beyond the natural life. I said, now that's really cool. So maybe a hearse does pull a U-Haul trailer. Because you're taking your eternal life with you. See, it's permanent. See? When you move or you go somewhere else, the prophet that you've been with or the teachers or so, seasonal. The touch, healing. Yeah, God gives you a healing touch. You're gonna die again. Just, 10 out of 10 people will die. I mean, just the way it is. But now, wait a minute. See, I don't get to take the natural life into the eternity with me, but I get to take my eternal life in there. I'm finding it very interesting in what this is. That it's here and it's there. It's not just a drink, but it's a spring. And I'm not born with it, but I can have it if I believe. I think I'm going to write a kid's book explaining eternal life. This little boy on a journey. Little girl. Boy and a girl. It says this in John 17. It says this. After Jesus said this, he looked up toward heaven and prayed. This is Jesus praying. If you ever want to know how Jesus prayed for you, himself, you, read John 17. John 17 is one long prayer. Jesus said, I'm going to pray for myself. And then I'm going to pray for other people. And then I'm going to pray for people that believe because of those people's witness. So I'm going to pray for the ones that are active right now. I'm praying for me. That's what he's doing here. And he's going to bridge over to praying for the people that are active and sharing the gospel then. And then he's going to pray for those people that will believe because those people are sharing the gospel. So he prays for those people too. But this is what he says as he starts his prayer. After Jesus said this, he looked up toward heaven and prayed. Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you have granted him authority over all people, that he might what? Give what? I love it. It's in Jesus' bag. and you can give this eternal life. The Father has put it in the bag of Jesus. And Jesus says, I can give it to those you gave me. That's exciting to me. And I would just love to just unpack that more and more and more. But that's just know that Jesus gives it to you. Because the Father said he could. For you granted authority over all people that he might give eternal life to those you have given him. Now this is eternal life. Okay, now there's a colon and there's going to be an explanation of the eternal life. This is where the rubber meets the road, I think. This is what goes beyond the natural life, but doesn't stop. But it starts in the natural life and goes beyond it. This is what happens when you believe. And this is what you're not born with, but you can have. This is what God wants to give you. This is the permanent gift that he wants to give you, is this eternal life. He says, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Whoa. To know, if we were to unpack the word know, just in the English language, it says to hold information in one's mind. I know right now in my life, I still know how to get home. That's just information that's in my mind somewhere. I know how to do that. I know how to stack the wood stove. I have an example here. I know how to bake cookies, but I really don't. So I won't say that one. There's certain things you know, right? You know. You don't have to go learn it every time. You just know it. You know it. But the word in the Greek is much deeper than that. And this is, hang on, this is eternal life. Hang on, this is what God's given you. Hang on, it's starting to make sense. Hang on, now you just found the instructions. Hang on, you got the YouTube video. Woo! What did you do before YouTube videos? I mean, you could actually move the Empire State Building with a YouTube video. Jack it up here. You know, I mean, you could. Here's the YouTube video. He said, eternal life that's going to be here and now, and it's going to go on, and it's going to give you, and you're not born, but I want to give it to you, and I'm going to give it to you if you believe, because I can't force it into you, because it's a gift. But I want to give it to you. And I want to put it into your possession for your use. He said, I want you to know me. Gnosko. Gnosko in the Greek. Gnosko. I want you to gnosko me. The eternal life is gnoskoing me. It's not just having you in your mind just to remember, oh yeah, I know how to spell Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, right? I can spell that. But I want you to gnosko me. Now this is eternal life, that you would gnosko me. That you would know me. That you would know me. And that word is so full. That is a relationship to have an emotional and personal intimacy with. That's eternal life. Jesus says, I want you to have eternal life. What is it? This intimate and personal relationship with me, he said. And I'm not going away. That's why it doesn't go away. That's why it's here, because I'm in your life today. And when you go from this earth, I will receive you, and you and I will be together for all of eternity. And you can have this personal and intimacy, this intimate relationship with me. You can gnosko, but don't wait. But don't wait. And the word gnosko also means this, to experience, to have an active involvement with. I want you to be involved in my life. I don't just want you to have this written piece of paper that says you have this intimate and personal relationship with me. I'm inviting you to be involved with me. I want you to be involved. And gnosko also means to have fellowship, to share interests and views with, to have the heart of. You see what eternal life is? I'm starting to understand. I'm starting to get a little more, wow. As I unwrap this gift that God has given me called eternal life. Jesus, I just don't want you to have me in my mind. I want this relationship, this experience. I want you to gnosko me. I've done this so you can gnosko me. so you can know me, so you can have a relationship, this personal relationship with me, so you can have this active involvement with me, so that you can have this interest or have my heart. I got to ask us today, how is your eternal life? I'm just not asking, are you going to go to heaven when you die? I'm asking, how's your eternal life? How's your gnosko with Jesus? Do you know him? Are you waiting? For crying out loud, what are you waiting for? Get it out of the safe deposit box. Number one, eternal life doesn't need to be kept safe. It's safe. And why are we waiting to experience this gnosko with Jesus that you weren't born with, but God gave it to you through the rebirth or through the belief that you have in him? It's not just a drink of water, it's a spring of water. And it's this passionate, experiential fellowship with Jesus. Jesus said, you gave it to me, Father, and I get to give it to him. Woo! Can you imagine how excited Jesus is? Do you know how exciting it is for someone to say, hey, I think God wants me to give this to this person. Can you kind of be the mailman? Ooh, I love that. Can you take him this gift of $1,000? Yes. Who wouldn't want to do that? It's like, guess what I get to give you? Who gave you that? God. Yeah, but I know, but God. And Jesus is like, who gave you that? God. And he wants you to have it, Tyler. You can gnosko me, Jesus is saying. So I got to ask, how's your eternal life? How's your gnosko meter? One of the saddest verses of the Bible, and I think there's a bunch of sad verses of the Bible. And Jonah paid the toll and went to Tarsus. Oh. But I think this is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Look what Jesus says to Philip. Jesus answered, don't you gnosko me, Philip? Same word. Even after I have been among you for such a long time? Do you see what he's saying there? Philip, I've given you this ability to have this gnosko with me. And don't you gnosko? Are you just kind of walking alongside of me? Don't you have this personal relationship with me? Don't you have this experience with me? Aren't you having this fellowship with me? Isn't my heart becoming your heart, Philip? Why do you just walk with Jesus when Jesus says, I want you to gnosko me? Do we want to know him? Do you want to have an emotional and personal intimacy with God, with Jesus? Do you want that? Do I want that? Do we want that? God wants it, or he wants to give it to you and me? Do you gnosko Jesus, or do you just get to answer the questions? I know who Jesus is. Do you really gnosko Jesus, or just know him? Do you have an active involvement with Jesus? That's what he's saying. Philip, do you have an active involvement with me? I see you walk with me every day. You're in a synagogue with me. You go to church every Sunday. You're in a group. I see you. I see you walking, but don't you gnosko me, Philip. Do you have my heart, Philip? Another question. Do we have a Philip problem? See, if you were watching a movie right now, this is when the music changes. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, can't we just beat up Philip a little bit more? Oh, Philip, you shut up, Philip. Oh, Philip, you naughty boy. Don't you know what you could have had? So all of a sudden, God said, knock, knock, knock. Anybody home? Don't you? So Jesus answered, don't you know me, Ed? Even after I've been in your life for 20 years. Don't you know me, Kyle? Don't you know me, Richard? Don't you know me? Melanie, don't you know me? Don't you gnosko me? I've been in your life. I've done miracles. I've done miraculous things. And still, you don't gnosko me. Do you have an emotional and personal intimacy with Jesus? Do you have an active involvement with Jesus? Do you have a heart of Jesus? Jesus is around us, but do we know him? Jesus has been in our life for years and years and years, but do we know him? Jesus can answer, I can answer the Jesus questions, but do you know him? He's not asking you to play Jeopardy. He's asking if you know him. You endeavor to play the part. We endeavor to play the part, but do we know him? There's a lack. Church, I believe there's a lack of emotional and personal intimacy with Jesus in our churches, in our walks. We are sleeping with the world and endeavoring to date Jesus on the weekends. We crave the things of this world and spend all our energies going after them and have little time left to pursue Jesus. There's a lack of involvement with Jesus. We expect Jesus to get involved in our lives, but we don't want to get involved in his. We expect Jesus to understand our situation, but we don't want to understand his situation. There's a lack of fellowship, having the heart of Jesus in the church today. We quote Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, and we go our own way. We are theists in speech and atheists in practice. We are ignorant of his views, of his ways, because we are ignorant of the Word of God. We spend minutes in the Word and hours on our phone. The interests of Jesus are not our interests. We are more concerned with our bank accounts than we are one day to give an account. You don't gnosko me, he says. And I don't think he chastised Philip for that. I think his heart was broken for Philip. Don't you know me? You can have this personal intimacy with me. You can have this involvement with me. You can have my heart. We are more about me than we are about him. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time? How is your eternal life? Do you have an emotional and personal intimacy with Jesus? Do you have an active involvement with Jesus? Do you have the heart of Jesus? We have been given eternal life. We have been given a relationship with Jesus. Do you know him? Do you want to know him? Do you just want to a space in heaven? Or do you want to gnosko Jesus? Do you want Jesus among us? Or do we want to gnosko him? And truthfully, this is what I wrote on the blotter on my desk. What's the big deal? Why do I need to know him? Does it even matter? I'm doing pretty good. And this is what God said to me. I'm building you together to become a dwelling place where I live. Push the button, please. As you come to him, the living stone rejected by men, but chosen by God, and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built together into a spiritual house to be a royal priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And God says, does that matter? You'll never do that unless you know me. Does it matter if you're being built together, new life, church? Does it matter if all of a sudden from among you starts coming sacrifices that are pleasing to God? Does it matter? I said, that seems like it matters. I said, you'll never get there unless you gnosko me. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house in the same way. Let your light shine before men. He said, that'll never happen unless you gnosko me. See, the problem is we're trying to do that without knowing Jesus, without having our eternal life vibrant. Push the button. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God says, does it matter if there are people calling down heaven to this earth? Does that matter? Seems like it matters to me. You'll never get it done unless you gnosko Jesus. You'll be taking Jesus, your laundry list, your shopping list, but you will never call heaven down to earth. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Does that matter? See, we're trying to understand, listen, New Life Verse, I think, and let me, if I had a mirror, here we go. I'm trying to understand God's will, and I don't gnosko Jesus. Where does God want me to go? He wants you to be in love with Jesus. Where does God want me to do? He wants you to experience Jesus. Where does God? He wants you to have the heart of Jesus. Hang with me. I'm on the last page of notes. See, sometimes the professor said you can throw a hook in every once in a while and make sure everybody's still awake. Here's a selfie. Sorry, it's 6 pages of notes, and usually it's only 5. I couldn't help myself. Here it is. Here's what he brought to Philip. Here's what he said to Philip right after he said that to Philip. Don't you believe? You could see the heart of Jesus. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing the work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe the evidence of the miracles themselves. If you want to gnosko me, if you want to know me, Philip, you got to believe. You got to believe I am who I say I am. You got to believe that I am the way, the truth, and the life. You got to believe, Philip. You got to believe that I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You got to believe that God is real. You got to believe that God loves you. You got to believe that God has a plan for you. You got to believe it, Philip. You're never going to know me unless you believe, Philip. You got to believe that who I am is who I am. And I am the I am. Unless you believe that, Philip, you're always going to be searching for what's going to fill your life. I can fill your life. I'm the one who gave you eternal life. You got to believe. Look what else he said to him. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. Can you just imagine Philip? He's over here talking to Philip. He says, Philip, oh, brother, you got to believe. I tell you the truth. You guys are going to be out of this world compared to what I've done. You can't imagine what you're going to do, Kyle. Philip, hang on. You can know me. I give you eternal life. You got to expect. I tried to make this cool acrostic. I couldn't. But you got to believe. And you got to expect God to do the miraculous through you. Or you're never going to want to experience and have fellowship with Jesus. You're only waiting until heaven to get your reward from Jesus. And Jesus says, don't wait. You can know me now. You got to believe, Philip. Push the button. And we'll do whatever you ask in my name. And you know, usually we send that out saying, oh, wait a minute. Jesus isn't giving you a blank check. You mean I can say anything and he has to give it to me? He's not your puppet. He's your eternal life. And if we don't gnosko Jesus, we're asking for a bunch of crap. But when we gnosko Jesus, you're going to ask and it's going to be there. You got to ask, Philip. You got to believe, Philip. You got to expect that I'm going to work in your life. You got to have a high expectation that you're going to do amazing things. And you got to ask, Philip. You got to ask. And keep asking, and keep asking, and keep asking, Philip. If you love me, you obey what I command. Can you imagine that, Philip? Philip, you gotta love me, man. You gotta love me. You gotta obey. Philip, you got to believe. Justin, you got to believe, man. MJ, you got to expect. Tyler, you got to ask. Kyle, you got to love. New Richard, you got to obey. And watch your eternal life grow. Eternal life is knowing Jesus. This is the last slide. Eternal life is knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus increases when we believe, expect, ask, love, and obey. That's what he told Philip. And I'm guessing if it worked then, it's going to work now. Stand with me today. This is a prayer with our eyes open again. God, you're an amazing God. And we stand as a people who are fortunate to be your people. People that you have given us eternal life. We weren't born with it, but you gave it to us. And I thank you so much for that, God. And I thank you that it carries from this life on into the next. I'm thanking you that it's not just a drink of water, but it's a whole spring. I'm thanking you that it's a permanent gift. That it doesn't stay here when I go there. It goes with me. I thank you that it's a gnosko with Jesus. Thank you that I can know Jesus. Thank you that I can have a personal and intimate relationship with Jesus. Thank you that, God, you've invited me to experience Jesus. Thank you that you've invited me to have fellowship and have the heart of Jesus. Help us believe, God. Help us expect, God. Help us ask, God. Help us love, God. Help us obey. And watch our eternal life grow off the charts. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an awesome day.